Let us pray. Lead us in thy truth, O Lord, and draw us by thy Spirit into a deeper understanding of thy redemptive purpose, into a greater love for one another, and into a stronger devotion to the task to which thou hast appointed us. We remember in thy presence brothers and sisters in thy great family who have special need of thy help this day. In the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Amen. In the institutions of higher education in the United States, we recognize imperative needs. We need a greater love of learning. We need more money. We need better managerial skills. We need more effective teaching. But more than anything else, we need a new mind for a new generation. In the language of the New Testament, we need to repent and to believe in the gospel. So I read a paragraph out of the first chapter of the gospel according to Mark. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Our Lord spoke with great clarity and urgency about the sovereignty, the righteous rule, and the love of God, and encouraged those who listened to him to seek a new mind for a new age. Although we do not understand fully the eschatological element of his message, we hear his invitation to use the resources of a renewed mind for a new time. You and I have been thrust into the serious responsibilities of an order of life which has emerged in the 20th century, and you and I need new minds to discover, to discern the will of God in the realities with which we reckon. We are encouraged to take our places humbly and gratefully with those who respond affirmatively to the invitation to repent and to believe in the gospel. During the past 10 years, as my colleagues know, I have visited many schools, including many theological seminaries in the United States and in Canada. Moreover, I have read with care much of what has been written about theological education in our time. In my judgment, for whatever it is worth, the most imperative need we have is to repent and to believe in the gospel. To repent is to change the mind. And to believe in the gospel is to rely upon the love of God, which was manifested in its full splendor in Jesus Christ. There is ample evidence that the most alert young people in this generation have new minds. We do not know all of the sources and tributaries of thought from which they have derived these new minds, but they possess them. 5 years ago, I was at Harvard University for a conference. I was lodged in a small hotel occupied mainly by graduate students. At breakfast one morning, I observed that every student there was reading a book or a manuscript as he ate his food. I was told that they were majors in science. They had new minds for a new age. A few days ago, I went to Lake Charles, Louisiana, to speak to an evangelistic conference at which there were a few more than 3,000 people. In the evening, the young people of that city, many of them were there, participating in the music, taking notes on what was said, and asking questions after the session. The young man who met me at the airport late at night is a freshman in a small college, and he works in a motel at night to help pay expenses. He did not know my name nor my mission, but he asked very penetrating questions. Among them, these. Have you read any books lately written by Negro thinkers? The Negro thinkers are the true interpreters of the black movement in this nation. A freshman in college in Louisiana asking questions. Have you ever seen American Indians through the mind of an Indian scholar? Those were the questions. The next evening, he brought to my room at the motel a book written by an educated American Indian with the question, "Will you read this book?" That college freshman has a new mind for a new age. The vision we seek on this campus is the vision of the whole gospel for the whole man, for the whole world. And I trust that all of us recognize that the new mind for a new age is a renewed mind. In fact, it's a gift of the Holy Spirit. A renewed mind. A courageous mind. You remember what David said at the end of his human pilgrimage to his son Solomon. "Be strong and show thyself a man." I think he was asking for a courageous mind in his son. The new mind is a renewed mind. Now, this is set forth very clearly in Romans. "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may be able to discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect." This new mind is a renewed mind, a courageous mind, a mature mind, an informed mind, a Christian mind. For many years, I had the high privilege of companionship with teachable students in the learning process in the classroom. I took seriously the counsel of Howard Odum, no action without research, no research without action. And I set forth four guidelines for research. Examine the original source. Read the entire document. Record your findings comprehensively, accurately, and clearly. And four, interpret the findings honestly and in perspective. At that time, I was saying more than I knew I was saying. In theological education, we are to interpret major issues in the perspective of the sovereignty of God, in the perspective of the mind of Christ. And it is hoped that in the days immediately ahead, the ministers, I'm talking about the ordained ministers, all of us are ministers, the ministers and laymen in the churches across this state and throughout the land will repent and believe in the gospel. Get a new mind for a new age and rely confidently upon the love of God. I hope that we shall be able, as Paul was, to give up childish ways, to grow in Christian maturity, and to bring the insight and the sensitivity of the mind of Christ to the issues and opportunities confronting us. And then we shall have perhaps some right to talk to the major in science at Harvard University who has a new mind for a new age, and to the freshman at Lake Charles, Louisiana, who is concerned about an understanding of the people with whom we live, all the people near and far, who have something to say and to do and to become in this generation. A few days ago, my heart was gladdened as I read these words written by a young adult on the flyleaf of a valuable book in a small private library. To mother and daddy, who in the important matters are living ahead of the time, and who encourage us and our children to quicken our pace. Do we have a new mind for a new generation? Let us pray. Our Father, thou knowest that we love thee, and that the aspiration of our mind is to serve thee. Forgive us, we pray, and help us to walk uprightly and to speak the truth in our hearts. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.